So, Jeff, in 2007, when Sacramento County was ready to bulldoze this track, you stepped in and helped prevent that from happening. Can you tell us about that?
I mean, all I can tell you is that, you know, we heard word that there was a chance that it, you know, might not be here. And to me, the fact that it lasted as long as it had really spoke volumes about what this track has done for so many kids and families, racers, myself, certainly one of the many that this track impacted their lives. And that in itself tells you that it needed to stay here and stay here for a long time. And I certainly didn't want to see it go. So, you know, this is the track that I made my first laps around the track, raced for the very first time. And if I could help to keep it here, then I certainly was going to do that. I'll be honest, it didn't take a tremendous amount of effort for me there. Once we jumped on board, others did too, and it just was a domino effect of people that really cared about this place that chipped in to make it happen. And yeah, I mean, there's certainly a small financial piece of it that played a role, but that was the easiest part of it.
Take us back to 1975, 76. You're 4 years old. What's it like? What does this mean to you? What are you doing at that time?
You're probably more like 77. I just remember my stepdad, John, coming home one night from work and said to me and my sister, look out the window. And I looked out the window, and there were two quarter midgets sitting on a flatbed trailer out in front of the house. And, you know, that's really what started it all. I mean, the first time I ever drove the car was at the Vallejo Fairgrounds, but the first time I ever ran around a track was right here. And I don't have a lot of memories from the very first time, but I remember getting into this wall and flipping pretty early on. And after that, you know, I remember getting some checkered flags and some trophies, and so that that's what really started all. But after that, you know, it was, I mean, this place, you know, became a huge part of our lives. We really, you know, you see these families, how they're camped out here, and they make this more than just about the racing, and that's what my family did. So it impacted me in more ways than just helping me to be a race car driver. It brought us together as a family.
Jeff, I saw you when you came out to the track. You reached down and you literally touched the dirt. Tell me what you were thinking when you were doing that.
I just love seeing how they're preparing it. We don't have many dirt track quarter midget tracks in the East Coast. We have a lot of paved tracks, and you just don't see enough dirt tracks anymore. And the first thing I loved was when I saw the kids out there in that first race when I got here, sliding the cars around and the car stepping out, and they're learning throttle control and car control. I think it makes me think back of what I learned here that helped me be a better race car driver today. And so it's so cool. And yeah, I just wanted to see how they're preparing it, they packed it, and how solid it was, whether it's going to take rubber and get black like today, and whether, you know, it had how much moisture it had in it.
So how are they doing?
They're doing great. Right. I mean, you know, it doesn't get any better.
Hey, Jeff, you were here with your kids.
What did you take from racing on dirt and then going to asphalt?
Yeah, I always raced a lot more on dirt than I did on pavement until I got into the USAC sprints and midgets and then NASCAR. I mean, I didn't know anything any different. I just loved the dirt. I as a kid growing up racing here, you go, you'd go out to West Capitol and watch the sprint cars race.
West Capitol.
It just, to me, that was what life was all about. And I wanted to be a dirt track sprint car driver. And I'm so glad I did, because I do think that car control, like I was mentioning, wheel spin, car control, sliding the cars around, made a huge impact in me building skills that made me a better driver on the pavement.
Jeff, you're here with your kids on Father's Day weekend, and you mentioned that the track has changed and a lot hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some benches over there that I think are still there from when I was here. The tower basically looks the same, even though maybe it's been reconstructed. I mean, the shape of the track and the basic setting, you know, this hill, I mean, everything really has the same feel. Look, yeah, there's some willow trees that are missing. The pit area is in a little bit different location. The cars certainly look different, the kids that are racing, but for the most part, it's really stayed very much the same as it was when I was racing here, which I love that. I'm glad it hasn't changed too much.
Scott Pruitt, you, now Kyle Larson, can you just talk about the racers that have come from this area? And is there something about this area that helps?
Well, you know, I think that you know, as you see here, I think because it's California, there's so much going on in California, no matter whether you're in maybe the New York City area or you're in other metropolitan areas or states, where there's a lot to do in the sunshine. People don't think of it as a racing state or a racing community, but yet you come here and you go, wow, it's like this whole world of its own, and it's building future race car drivers, and Kyle Larson's a perfect example. You know, I mean, I don't know where he raced quarter midgets at, but I'm pretty sure he raced quarter midgets. But you know, I know that the mini sprints and the outlaw sprints and the things that he did. I mean, the kid's one of the most talented race car drivers that I've seen come along in a long time. He just happens to also be from the show, which is very cool. And I'm a huge fan and friend of Scott Pruitt's. You know, wasn't on oval tracks and with NASCAR, but you know, when you think of some of the all-time great road racers, Scott comes to mind at the top of the list.
How important is it to see the kids, Jeff?
You know, think about it. You got a week to go before you take your last green flag at Sonoma. Have you thought about that?
I haven't, Elijah. I did some interviews this week, talking to some radio stations, and it was brought up, and I have so much racing left to do this year before that final race in Homestead. So, you know, I went to Atlanta for the final time, but again, it was early in the season. And Sonoma, I think, is always special to me because of family and friends and how good the track has been to me. So it's probably going to sink in a little bit more this weekend than some others. But you never know how that's going to impact you until you go out there and until that race is, you know, happening or it's over. But I'm going to miss racing there.
You're looking for your first win of the season still, and that's one of your best tracks.
Yeah.
Do you feel pressure to get one this weekend?
Well, not just pressure. I feel more excitement and a great opportunity to get it. You know, I think that Sonoma, no matter what's happening with the rules and the cars changing and where we're at as a team, we always seem to be able to come here and perform very, very well. And I really think that our team in some ways has started to turn the corner in performance of the cars, and I think this is coming at a great time. So I think we have an excellent opportunity to win here, and you know, it's just a track that I always love and feel good about. So I'm excited to get out there and see what we can do.
Not a fan of the rules this year, are you?
No, it's not that I'm not a fan of it. It's just, you know, when they change, and we had such great success with the package last year, that any change you have to adapt to and work around, and we just haven't, you know, between me and the way I've been driving the car and the way that they're set up, it just hasn't suited me yet. But it's not from a lack of effort, and it's not because I don't like it. I do like it. It's just we got to find a way to go faster, and the competition stepped up too. I mean, we saw Harvick and Stuart Haas really step up, you know, last year win the championship. But they've continued to improve this year and been really strong. And then you have people like Mark Truex Jr. and that team that are doing really well. So it's not just the package; it's the competition as well.
How content are you that with your decision to step away?
I'll let you know around this time next year. until you step away from it for a little while, but I mean, right now I'm very, very content. You know, I'm excited about the future and the cities and opportunities that have come about through this decision, and I'm excited about the career I've had, and looking forward to closing out this season, and looking forward to spending more time with my kids. I mean, that's why I was so supportive of this event, was because I knew that Ingrid and the kids would be with me, and hoped that my parents would be able to be here and be a part of this. I had no idea we're going to get other drivers that I race with out here. And I didn't know that there was going to be a race here either when we first started talking about this. So this is awesome for me. You know, this right here in itself makes my whole year. So, you know, I'm thrilled about that. And then I'll go to the racetrack and get working on the rest of it and try to make sure we get ourselves in the chase and compete for this championship.
What was it like to see some of the racers that you haven't seen in so long?
Well, I mean, I'm friends with Greg Dicaris. You know, we still stay in touch, but we don't get to see one another enough. Bobby McMahon as well, racing his brother Paul a lot. The Lorenzinis, the Boyds, some that we race with, some we were just friends with. A lot of them out here, Neil Shields. There's Dennis Rice, who, you know, he and his dad built quarter midgets for me when I was young. And so the list just keeps going on and on.
Is there any discussions of Leo racing?
Well, Ella has a quarter midget, and she's made some laps. She hasn't raced yet. And Leo has a quarter midget as well, waiting for him when he gets a little older. So, I mean, it's not that we're expecting them to have racing careers. It's just that's what I did. They're around it. And I want them to experience it and take it wherever they want to take it. And we're introducing them to that no different than we introduce them to other sports and things as well.
Jeff, you didn't get a chance to mention your time as a broadcaster and joining the Fox crew for next year.
Yeah, no, I, that's what I meant. You know, I'm excited about the opportunities and things that have come about since the decision. And I'm really looking forward to working with Fox and that team. And you know, I'm nervous too because it's foreign to me and unique. And I did a few Xfinity races this year. I really enjoyed them. But it's going to be a whole new set of challenges and commitment. I'm going to treat it like I do racing, you know, and give it everything that I have, and hopefully I do a good job with it.
Do you have a signature line, though? That's the big one.
No, I don't have a signature line.
Cale Yarborough pointed you out when you were first starting to race Sprint Cup racing.
That's right.
He saw something in you, and so did his crew. What do veteran drivers or experienced drivers see in some of the new crop? And also, what do you see in some of the kids that are out there today?
I mean, to me, now being around races as long as I have, what I look for in young drivers, you want what's exciting about young drivers is their ability to just push the limits, right, and take the car further than nobody else is willing to take it. There's plenty of young drivers that are out there doing that, but the ones that are using their head and making good decisions and choices and searching around the racetrack, if their car is not working, exactly the way they want it, how they find a way to get the speed out of the car. Kyle Larson, I think, is the perfect example of that in recent years. Kyle Busch is another example. You know, if you go back over the last, say, 8 years, these guys. They're exciting for the sport of racing to see those kind of young talents being groomed and come up and then see them take that talent to the top levels.
Jeff, what are you hearing from your fans this year that you've never heard before as far as the output? You've always had your fans, obviously, but even the people who weren't the Jeff Gordon fans, what are you hearing from them?
Yeah, you know, just a lot of we're going to miss you, you know, comments, and thank you for what you've done for the sport. Thank you for your type of person that you are on and off the track. As far as people, you know, going to the lengths of saying, you know, I don't know if I can still, you know, watch the sport without you being out there, to begging me not to stop. I mean, there's certainly a lot of things, but that's been also a real highlight for me this year is the interaction with the fans and the comments, whether it be on social media or in person. A lot of respect. That I have for them, and
then
I've gotten
to
each other.
Do you
all
have yourself again?
Last question.
Yes. Yeah, I do. I mean, I try to hold back on it, but I don't have the switch that just turns it on and off. It just comes, you know, when that moment affects me, or something pops into my head that affects me, in a way that gets me emotional. Certainly, being here, having my parents here,